Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23, verse 1. This will serve as our text this morning. Throughout the religious world, there are many today who will profess to having a personal relationship with God. Many of these people will also claim Jesus as personal Savior. We of the church are often accused of saying that our relationship with God is not personal. Well, friends, that's just entirely not true. While we understand the difference between a personal relationship here on earth and a personal relationship with God, we do indeed and better have a personal relationship with God. The problem is the way in which many wish to apply the term personal and the term personal relationship. There are those who will convey the idea that Jesus died for them and them only. The truth of the matter is that Jesus came to die for all of lost humanity, which, by the way, includes me. In Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1, we find words that indicate that the psalmist had a personal relationship with God. We all know the 23rd Psalm, or should. And it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." That indicates that he possesses. The Lord is my shepherd. It's one that he can associate with. One in whom he can trust. He says a little later, "The Lord is my rock." Chapter 18 and verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." He's described as one which is solid. We sang just a moment or two ago, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, strength and safety." In Psalms chapter 28 and verse 1, we see the dependence the psalmist placed upon this personal relationship with the Lord. And today, even, we are to place our dependence upon the Lord. The psalmist said, "Unto thee I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Here we touch upon the idea that people want to have relative to personal Savior. The psalmist says, "If thou be silent to me, I will become like them that go down to the pit." And therefore, in order not to be one that goes down to the pit or like one that goes down to the pit, they will stand and wait and listen for God to communicate to them. We need to understand that God has not always communicated to man in the same fashion. But without his word, we would all surely go down into the pit. He gave us his word, that which he spoke, that which he directed through his Holy Spirit, men to write, so that we might have it, so that we might understand the strength that God has, the safety that we can have in Christ, and the personal relationship that we can enjoy with him. Without his word, we would all surely go down into the pit. There would be no hope. There would be no opportunity for us to be saved. In fact, there would be nothing for us to obey. In Psalms 31:3, we find yet another passage from the psalmist that also contains the request for guidance, as he knew the strength, the safety, and the direction would be sure. Who is it that we go to when we need guidance on something? We go to someone who is an authority. I'm not going to my dentist and tell him about a trouble that I have with my vehicle. By the same token, my mechanic is not putting a pair of pliers in my mouth. We go to the one who is an authority. He said in Psalms 31:3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." When it comes to spiritual things, we are to go to the authority. That's God. Our strength. We are to ask for guidance. By the same token, we cannot say, Lord, I do not understand. Help me. And wait. We are told to study to show thyself approved. But the psalmist did. He said, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And one cannot have that assurance or that type of assurance unless there is a proper relationship with God. The guidance from the Lord is available unto everyone. It's there. It is here for us. That's why in Psalms 119 verse 11 that we see the words written by the psalmist as he was guided by the Spirit. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? So I can have a personal relationship? No. That I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. If we want to know what not to do, in other words, if we want to know how not to sin against God, hide his word in our heart. That's what the psalmist said. And indeed, we find that if we do the will of God, we follow his word, we can and must have a personal relationship with him. There are many passages where God is spoken of in very personal terms. I hear today people say stuff like, well, it's just me and my Jesus in this situation. It's great to have Jesus as a brother and a savior. But know that he's not only your savior, but savior to all who will hear and obey. But even though there are many passages where God is spoken of in a very personal term, people often feel disconnected from God. I've heard people in desperation say, where is God? Does he care? Is he listening? I pray all the time, and my prayers are not answered. I often tell people that God answers every prayer. He may not answer them the way that we desire that they be answered, but he answers them yes, no, or maybe wait a while, or not now. And being the impatient people that we are, we often don't receive an answer that we want to our prayer. And we say, well, he didn't hear me. He didn't answer me. Thus we hear a phrase that has become kind of a catchphrase. A personal relationship. I need a personal relationship with God. In other words, I want God on call. I want God waiting for me to pray, so he can hear my prayer, answer my prayer the way I want my prayer to be answered. The focus is in the wrong direction here. We also hear people say things such as, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. It's a great idea. Indeed, everyone who has Jesus as a Savior has Jesus as a personal Savior. But again, it's not just for them. We must have a personal relationship with God, but we must also understand what this means and how we can have such a relationship. How do you define relationship? Is it just a connection, an association, or involvement with someone? Well, it sounds strangely like the word fellowship, doesn't it? Fellowship means to have communion with, to be a fellow worker with. Being bound together in. In other words, this relationship, this word relationship, can denote what we are doing with someone else. But does it mean that everyone with whom we have any kind of association is one with whom we are in a relationship? What about the butcher? Do you have a relationship with the butcher? No, you go to the butcher and say, I want this cut of meat. Does his thing, wraps it up, gives it to you. Your barber. I have severed relationships with some folks who were barbers. Because when I got out of the chair, I had looked nothing like what I intended when I got in. Is a relationship just a connection between persons by blood or by marriage? You know, Linda and I are not really related. Some people might find that strange. This means we do not have the same blood. We come from different families. It's just the way things were designed by God. But make no mistake about it. We are very much connected. We are very much in a relationship. One can also be related by birth, a child. As I said, Linda and I do not have the same blood. Now, we have the same stuff in our veins. She has blood, I have blood. But what we have in a child is the melding of those two bloods. And Paul is related by blood to both of us, even though we are not related to each other. But again, we have very much a relationship. One can also enter a family by choice. For instance, marriage. It's often been said when you marry someone, you marry their family. That is, in a lot of ways, true. But you think about adoption. Someone might say of their spouse, well, we're not really related. They might say of their child, we're not really related. In other words, you don't have the same blood, but they're very much in a relationship. We can be in a relationship with God, and it is a relationship by blood. But let's continue to talk about relationships. Does an emotional or other connection between people contain or constitute a personal relationship? There are times when we have relationships not based on blood, not based on marriage, not based on adoption, but by emotion. Why, we see it with our young teenagers. They're running around in the stars and in their eyes, and they're in love. They want a relationship with someone. Some people are in love with the idea of being in a relationship. Some people are in love with the idea of being in love. Some folks are in love with the idea of being married. And they don't realize that it's just an emotional connection, that it does not necessarily always lead to a relationship. You can have an emotional connection with a friend, a neighbor, that sort of thing. It does not necessarily mean that it constitutes a personal relationship. Based on the above definitions or the things that we've talked about, we can say this. Not all relationships are personal. Some relationships are emotional. Some relationships are not formed by blood or marriage or adoption, and they're not really based necessarily on working together or having something in common. It's kind of hard to have a personal relationship with the phone operator. Or the person who this time of year calls and bugs you to death about helping the needy. I've actually told a few of them here lately, put me on the list. Call people and send me money. They don't ever call back. It's hard to have a personal relationship with the person in the drive-thru at Wendy's. Although, when you do the same thing every time you go through, Linda and I enjoy a Frosty occasionally. Sometimes two occasionally. One time we went through, it was a Wednesday night, went through the drive-thru at Wendy's and told the lady what I wanted. She told me what the amount was, and I knew what the amount was. It's always the same. When we got up there to the Wendy's, she said, I knew it was you. But did we have a personal relationship? Non-personal relationships are usually not long-lasting and sometimes not very fulfilling. Some relationships are good, and some are not so good. And we needn't go into those. What we need to discuss this morning is man's relationship with God. First and foremost, we need to look at man's relationship with God based upon him being our creator. We, humanity, all of mankind, are the creation of God. People say, well, God didn't make me. No, but he set in order the things whereby you would be made. And therefore, he is our creator. You know, it's kind of strange, but the word personal is not found in the King James Bible. I looked. I searched. It's used 3 or 4 times in some versions of the Bible. And every time it is found, it is always used warning us about favoritism or prejudice, or stating that God shows no personal favoritism. People sometimes sing the song, "At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sin rolled away." I'm not sure of the words, all the words of that song. I might even be thinking of the wrong song, because as I think of the words of that song, it doesn't convey the idea of a personal Savior. But the song is wrong nonetheless. But all the songs that speak of a personal Savior, we shouldn't sing, because God shows no personal favoritism. The word relationship is not found in any recommended version. Yet we do read of some individuals who had a relationship with God and a personal relationship with God, even in the Authorized Version. Let's look at a few of these. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, we see that the Lord spoke to Moses, and in what way this occurred. We often have means by which we speak to people today. We use email, text, telephone calls. Sometimes we Skype. There's probably several other ways in which we can talk to people, and some are much more effective than others. And there are situations that exist in which people need to sit down face to face. That's how Moses and God, or that's how the Lord spoke to Moses. It tells us there, the Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, as he turned again to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. People will very quickly jump on that and say, wait a minute, how is it that Moses saw God when the Bible says no one can see God? Look what is being said here. The Lord spake to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. It's not that he sat across the table from him. He spoke directly to him. They had a relationship. Know that Moses was well aware of the fact that he was a servant and therefore subservient to God. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and 24, we see that Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? Verse 22 shows how he conducted his life, and in the 24th verse shows the result of that personal relationship with God. We all should model our lives after Enoch. Verse 22 says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." What does this mean? It means that he did the things that God directed him to do. But look at verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Often today, people will say, "You know, I wish the Lord would go ahead and take me." You put yourself in a pretty high order when you put yourself up there with Enoch. Do you know why God took him? In fact, I think he and Elijah are the only ones that God took. But you know why God took him? Because he was faithful. He walked with God. You cannot walk with God unless you have that relationship with him. As we read about Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, and also in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, we see the personal relationship that Noah had with God and how that Noah responded to that relationship. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Why didn't God take him? Was his relationship not personal enough? We see that it was very personal. And that, yes, Noah did walk with God. Verse 22, we see, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." That's what maintains that relationship. As we look to the New Testament, in James chapter 2 and verse 23, we know of Abraham's belief and his obedience, and therefore he is the only one to have received the designation the friend of God. Did you know that? He's the only one in the Bible that's called the friend of God. You know why? It's because there was a relationship there. Was it personal? Of course it was. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So stop right there. Understand what is being done here. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. We know that it's not just enough to believe, or not enough just to believe. Therefore, we have to understand that, like Noah, he did according to all that God commanded him. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. If that's not a relationship, you tell me what he is. Now let's contemplate for a moment our relationship with God. You know, every one of us are individuals before him. Now we're collectively the body that meets in this particular place. We are universally the church for which Jesus died because of our faith and obedience. But we are all individuals before him. And if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, we see this. He knows us individually, collectively, and universally. The word there says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's really no different in looking back about us and saying we did all according to that which God commanded us. In other words, set aside those things which are iniquity. We are not nameless, faceless people before God. He knows every one of us, and he knows our needs. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 27 through 32. It's easy when we live in this world that's made up of relationships, that's full of relationships, and we see other folks prospering, to think that God doesn't like me as much. Sometimes, the kids at school used to ask Linda, why such and such a child got to do something. One of the other teachers would usually answer, well, she likes her more than you. But wasn't the case. Perhaps that person had earned said privilege. And many times today, as we look around this world, we think, how is it that they are prospering? Is it because they have a personal relationship with God? God knows our needs. Matthew 6, 27, beginning. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things, or all these things. He is fully aware of all of our needs. In fact, all of our needs have been supplied. Now, we needn't think that because of this passage, pull it out of context and twist it up in a little knot that we just sit back with our hand up, hand out, and God's going to just pour blessings into them. It doesn't work that way. But he knows our needs. He's aware of us on an individual basis. We're not just part of a bigger group. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, we see this. Even though we are part of the body that meets here at Mooresville, even though we are part of the church, universally, we're not just part of a big group. In John 10, 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why? Because of the relationship that we have with him. Obeying his voice means to obey his word. Obeying his words means to be obedient to his word and be a child of God and therefore a joint heir with Christ. Those who obey the gospel are part of Christ's body, the church, which is also the bride of Christ. We see this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he, speaking of Christ, is the Savior of the body. This depicts a relationship with God, a relationship with the Son, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But as relationships develop, they require work, and they are to be valued. Try ruining a relationship. All you got to do is ignore it. Just don't work at it. I know that people sometimes aren't able to make it as a married couple. All too often, the counselor will say to them, you've got to work on your relationship. Usually what happens after that is finger pointing and name calling and that sort of thing. And ultimately, in many cases or some cases, a divorce. But how do we develop a good relationship with God? Let's look at the individuals we talked about earlier. Moses communicated with God. He talked with him. We can do this today. We can communicate with God on a daily basis. We need to only separate ourselves from the world. In other words, shut out all the things of the world, the thoughts that invade our mind, and talk to God. Communicate unto Him. God communicates to us. He reveals His communication to us as we read His Word. In reading one's writings, one gets to know the author. Think just for a moment about your favorite author. It doesn't matter if it's a Western or, you know, a silly romance book or whatever the case may be. But the more you read of that author, the more you get to know them. Something about them. The more we appreciate their style, learn the way they think. How are we going to know what God thinks? How are we going to know what God expects of us in this relationship unless we read His Word? We're not. Enoch walked with God. He lived with God on a day-to-day basis. In other words, God was a part of Enoch's life every day. Not just the first day. Not just a few hours a week. He walked with God. Not just special occasions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, we see words penned by Paul as they were given to him by the Spirit regarding this. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. You know, the longer we're in relationships with people, the better we know them. We learn our children as time goes on. We learn our spouses as time goes on. We learn all others with whom we are in a relationship with as time goes on. We get to know them better. Relationships are not instantaneous. I've often told my wife that I love her more now than I did when we got married. And that's true. I know her a lot better. She knows me a lot better. We know our children better after we've had them for 18 years. Sometimes we are ready for them to move on, make their life. But we do not want to sever the relationship because it's necessary that they move on, make their life. But relationships are not instantaneous. Noah did what God commanded in Genesis 6:22. Again, we see, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Not just the commandments he liked. Not just the commandments that fit his schedule. Not just the commandments that didn't interfere with other things that Noah had going on. I'm going to read it again. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. How many times do we need to see this? The word all has been stressed in this reading. The reason is we cannot pick and choose and maintain our relationship with God. Didn't Noah make some mistakes along the way? Why, yeah, he's human. He did make some mistakes. You stop and think about it. God had just saved him and his family and all of the things that needed to be saved. There had been a great flood and everyone else was destroyed. Shortly after Noah got off the ark, he planted a vineyard and he got drunk. You think God was pleased? No. God didn't kick him to the curb either. He made mistakes. We will too. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we see the words of the Lord that tells us that we are to go and do the will of our Father. What did Jesus come to do? He came to do the will of his Father. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, you cannot have a relationship with God on your terms. The relationship that one has with God must be on God's terms. He's the authority. He's the giver of life. He's the creator of humanity. There are those, by the way, who want a relationship with God on their terms and insist on it. Insist on it to the point that they're serving God and just don't believe it. Ask them. They'll tell you, we're serving God. We're following the Bible. Why, on the road between here and where we get on the interstate, sometimes as we're going toward Charlotte, there's a denominational building that has a large signboard, and on it it says, our preacher preaches the truth. Well, why is he still in the denomination? Because he has a good relationship with them. But what's his relationship with God? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, we'll see what the relationship will be. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? There are many who are doing wonderful things in the name of the Lord. Verse 23 tells us the response. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? It's because these did not enjoy a proper personal relationship with God and his Son, and therefore will spend eternity apart from him. Abraham was the friend of God. He believed and trusted in God. And faith and trust are a part of every good relationship. Think about the exercise. Many of us have participated in it. When one is to stand there and fall back, just let yourself go. It's against your nature to do it. But you've been already told, you got to trust your teammates. They're behind you. They're going to catch you. Invariably, I'd be the one that moved my hands and let the dude hit the floor. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to trust God. You must have trust to do that exercise. Do you trust God to catch you? There's a story of a person falling off a cliff. He manages to catch on a little branch sticking out from a rocky ledge. Of course, he's distraught. He's concerned. He knows what's going to happen if he falls. And so he yells, help, help, somebody help me. A voice from heaven comes and says, I'll help you, just let go of the branch. He looks around left and right. He goes, help, help, somebody help me. What's the point? He didn't trust God. Now listen, we know that God is not going to speak to us out of heaven. He's not going to catch us in his hands when we fall off a cliff. He doesn't speak to us directly today, but this illustration shows that the person who needs help did not truly trust God. Now I want to ask you, do you trust God today? We must have a relationship with him, and we must trust him. The terms of our relationship is dictated by God's word, not us. Now, we might want it a certain way. It might be more comfortable a certain way. But God has already dictated the terms. He tells us in his word what to do to enter the body of Christ. We must work at trusting, believing, working, and communicating with God. But if we do, we will find that we indeed have a personal relationship with God. We can call him our God. How do we do this? The Bible tells us in order to begin this personal relationship with God, of course, is following the word. The word tells us that we must hear. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We see in John 8:24 that we must believe. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We're to repent according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And of course, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, we are to confess. We're not to confess the fact that we are sinners. Everybody knows that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fear, or for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we're to be baptized. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But then, in order to foster, promote, support that personal relationship with God, we must remain faithful until death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, those folks were told, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. The latter part of that applies to all of humanity. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want the crown of life? You must have a personal relationship with God. You know now how to come into a personal relationship with God. You must maintain that personal relationship with God through faithful obedience throughout your life. Perhaps this morning you have not done that. Perhaps this morning, for whatever reason, you've allowed sin to come into your life and separate you between you and God. Know that God is calling you through His Word to repent. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of this heart, of thine heart, may be forgiven thee. Don't mess up your relationship with God. If you don't have one, let's establish one today. We are ready and able to help you. All you need to do is have faith and be obedient. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the selected song.